The following shiur has been presented by Rav Shmuel Binyamin Honigwax, Dayan at the Beis Havad, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Given that Lamed Aleph, even though this blot is squarely in the middle of Gittin, which deals with halachas of marriage and divorce, nevertheless, this blot is the source of one of the most important, an extremely fundamental halacha in Hilchos Shutfim. And it's a great source for many, many halachas in contemporary Chayshim Mishpat. The Gemara in Amud Beis says that there's certain times when it's good and advantageous to sell wine. And the Gemara says, Nafkamina l'shutfim. The Nafkamina is for shutfim. So the Rishonim explain, Pshat in this Gemara, that what does it mean, Nafkamina l'shutfim? That let's say two partners went into partnership to produce wine or buy wine, and then subsequently to sell the wine. So even though generally the halacha is that if two people go into partnership and they don't specify the time until which their partnership has to remain, the halacha would be that they could break up the partnership whenever they want. Either if it's something that they could split, they would go and split it. If it's something that they can't split, they would say good or yagud, which means that one partner can force the other partner either to buy him out or to offer him the option of buying out the other partner. In other words, each one can force a buyout of the partnership to disband the partnership. However, the Gemara is saying a very important halach. The Gemara is saying that only applies to things that there's no specific time when you have to sell the things. However, if we're dealing with a partnership in wine, when the Gemara tells us that there's specific times of the year when you're supposed to sell wine, when it's advantageous to sell the wine and you'll get a better price for the wine, then the halach would be that the partners who went into partnership in order to buy and sell wine could force each other to remain in the partnership until that wine is sold at that specific time. And one partner is not allowed to go ahead and sell the wine or force the other partner to sell the wine at a time that's not advantageous for the wine to be sold. This is a klal in the shutfim, that shutfim are obligated to do what's best for the partnership, and one shutf can't force the other shutfs to sell out or to disband the partnership if it's not good for the schayr, the merchandise that they were mishtatif in, if it's not a good time, if it's not an appropriate time to go ahead and sell that thing, then the partners can force each other to remain b'shutfus until that thing gets sold at its appropriate time. Another very, very important halacha that's based on this, and this halacha is a cornerstone of many halachas in Chayshim Mishpat. The Shulchan Aruch, after the Shulchan Aruch says this halacha that one partner is not allowed to sell before the time that's appropriate for this thing, the Shulchan Aruch says that if one partner goes out and sells it at a time that's not good, that partner will have to pay the other partner for whatever losses are incurred because of that. For example, let's say the wine is worth $90 the whole year, and it's worth $100 if you wait to this specific time. And one partner goes ahead and sells it without notifying and receiving consent from the second partner. He sells it when it's worth $90. The halacha will be that he's obligated to pay the $10 difference out of his own share in order to compensate. Actually, it's the $5 difference because that's what he has to pay his partner. So he's obligated to compensate the other partner for the loss of revach, for the loss of profit, which would have been materialized had they waited until that specified date. This is a very, very unusual concept. The Ksais right away acts on this. He says, we know that if, let's say, a person has a merchandise which becomes worth more at a specific times of the year, and somebody else goes and destroys that merchandise when it's worth less. During the winter, let's say, gasoline has a certain price. And I go ahead and somebody's trying to store up gasoline, a chveis, for the summertime. And I destroy his gasoline, and he can't sell it now in the summertime when he would have made more money. The halacha is that the mazik, the person who causes damage, only has to pay according to the lower price. He doesn't have to pay according to the price of what it would have been later. Because the halacha is that a mazik only has to pay what it's worth at the time of the hezek. A mazik doesn't have to pay to compensate the nizik for revachim, for profits, which he could have realized had the hezek not happened. Therefore, tainus zaktzais, this halacha in the Shulchan Aruch is not really understandable to us. And the Ketzai says that he feels that the Rishon who says this halacha that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting is only saying it because that Rishon happens to hold somewhere else. Rashi, who says this halacha, happens to hold somewhere else that by Mazik the halacha will be the same. But according to us who paskin, the Shulchan Aruch paskin somewhere else, that Mazik only pays according to the time of damages, he doesn't understand why a Shutif would have to pay more than a mazik would have to pay. If a shutav would have been a mazik and just destroyed the thing, so a shutav wouldn't have to pay. Now that he went and sold it, why should he have to pay more than he has to pay had he been mazik the item? The Nesivus, however, takes issue with the Ketzais. The Nesivus says, and this is a very big principle that the Nesivus mentions many times in Chayshim Mishpat, and he uses this concept to explain a lot of halachas which otherwise are very hard to understand in Chayshim Mishpat. The Gemara in Bava Metzia discusses the case of a sharecropper. Let's say a person accepts upon himself to work his friend's field and to give him a share of the profits. A share of the profits will go to the capital contributor, the person who owns the field, and a share of the profits will go to the worker, to the manager of the field, so to speak, the artist who is working on the field and producing the crops. So, the owner of the field wants to have protection. He says, what am I going to do if you don't actually work the field? Let's say you get lazy and you take another field to work on that you're going to see more profit in, or something else happens that you don't want to work the field. What kind of protection does the owner of the field have? So the Mishnah says that the sharecropper is used to write in the shtar that if I leave the field fallow and I don't plant it, I will pay the better type of crop that's possible to grow. I think that's the understanding of Hashalom Meitzah. I don't remember exactly. The Gemara says over there that even if the sharecropper didn't write this in the shtar, nevertheless he will have to pay because we do what's called Derish Lashon Hadyit, and if people generally write such an expression in the shtar, then this halacha will apply even if one specific person didn't write it. That's the regular, the one understanding of the Gemara. The Nesivus over here goes with a little bit of a different understanding of the Gemara. He understands that there's a takonas chachamim that in certain cases where two people go make an agreement that Reuven will do work for Shimon and accomplish for him a certain profit, the halacha will be that if Reuven doesn't do that work and that profit is not realized for Shimon, Reuven will have to compensate Shimon for that profit that Shimon lost because Reuven didn't do the work. That's how the Nesivus understands the Ma'ivrei Avad Hashalom Meitzah. Now, the Nesivus uses different understandings of this Gemara in different places in the Sefer, but there's one general rule that the Nesivus follows that we Bazanazeh will apply this halacha to many, many different cases which are not necessarily as quaint as a sharecropper on the field. The Nesivus says this is the understanding of this halacha in Hilchos Shutfim, that if one shutif goes and sells the merchandise when it's worth less, when he should have realized that the merchandise was going to go up in value at some future date, the shutif has to compensate the other shutif for the profit which was not realized because of his pshia. And the basis of this halacha that the Nesivus explains is this gemara that says that a sharecropper is obligated by the chachamim or by the Torah, depending on where you look. And the Nesivus, a sharecropper is obligated. There's a new takana or there's a new din in the Torah that says that if a person agrees to help his friend realize a certain profit, and that person relies, the owner of the field relied on the sharecropper, that the sharecropper would help him realize that profit, the halacha is that the sharecropper does not do what he was supposed to do, and therefore the profit is not realized, he has to compensate the owner for what the profit that should have been realized had he done his job. So too by Shutzim, since two people go into partnership, assuming that they're both going to work diligently to make sure that the partnership realizes as much profit as possible, so where one of the partners went ahead and was Peshaya, he was negligent, and he sold the merchandise at a time that was not advantageous to sell the merchandise, and therefore the partnership, because of his negligence, did not realize the profits that it would have realized, the halacha is, says the Nesivos, that that profit has to compensate out of his own pocket the other partner for that profit which could have been realized. So the Nesivos also says it's by a worker. If a person hires a worker, and the worker should have done his work, and the Baal Bayis would have realized the profit because of the work, and now it's impossible for the Baal Bayis to realize that profit. The halacha is the worker has to compensate the Baal Bayis for that profit that the Baal Bayis would have had. That halacha of a worker is a little bit more nuanced, that we can't go into exactly the guidelines of that halacha because they're a little bit complicated. But the Nesivos uses this concept very liberally throughout Chayshe Mishpat, and it's very important to understand a lot of halachas in Chayshe Mishpat, and it's also very important because even though we can't necessarily rely on this Nesivos all over, because there are achronim that are chaylik on the Nesivos, but it's a very, very useful concept in Chayshe Mishpat to apply very, very generally. It's worthy of note that what we mentioned before, that both the Ksais and the Sivas both agree that generally when we're dealing with damages, the Mazik is not obligated to pay the Nizik for profits which would have been realized. This is not 100% clear, and there are Achroinim that say that any profit which is almost for sure going to happen had the person not done that Hezik, the Mazik is obligated to pay the Nizik for that profit. It's only profits which are not guaranteed, where we say Hamavatel Kisei Shel Haveiro Ein Leol Vel Tarumas, that the Tosefta and the Yerushalmi say, and it's Boron Shulchan Aruch, that if, let's say, a person stops his friend from doing business with his money and investing his money, and therefore his friend who is not able to invest the money does not get the profit that he should have gotten, is Ein Leol Vel Tarumas. He only can complain about it. He could have tightness on him, but he can't actually force them to pay for that profit in Bezin. That halacha does not apply according to some achronim where the profits are almost guaranteed. So there are basically three opinions on this matter. We have the achronim that say that you're always obligated to pay for profits which almost certainly would have been realized. The Nesivos uses this concept only with some sort of an agreement and some kind of trust that one person puts in another person to help him realize those profits. And the Ksais says that this only applies according to certain Rishonim, and he generally would seem not to be able to use this concept at all, because we don't pass them like those Rishonim.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.